There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right. It's mask day on FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Not really. We'll get into the mask here in a second. Lots coming up on today's show. Live vocal talk over the next couple of hours. Glad you're along. Phone number, text line 343-0106. 343-0106. Ran a couple of errands between the two shows. And when I was out there, I saw mask aplenty. And, I saw the blue gloves. And I think it was Jason had texted earlier about this. You're right. Y'all, and I don't think it's, once again, this is like having your headlights on when your wipers are on or using a turn signal. I really don't think it's this audience. I think y'all, but maybe y'all got some kinfolk or somebody you can remind this how to act right. If you're using the rubber gloves, the blue nitrile or the black ones or the clear ones or the whatever gloves you got out there, if you're doing that to try to keep your hands away from touching some coronavirus, some COVID-19 infected something, surface of any sort, throw the dang things away in a trash can. I saw people just had taken them off and dropped them by the door of a store. Now, y'all, just quit being nasty. Quit being nasty. Act right. You use the gloves. That's cool. Right on. Whatever. Throw them in the dang trash or on the floorboard of your truck or something like that. Come on. All right. Help us all out here. We're all working together, right? We're in this together, and y'all can be in this together by putting your dang gloves in the trash can. All right, there it is. So, but then from gloves, I mentioned masks. And I want to get a little discussion about masks, and then we'll talk about what's coming up this hour. So this story from Clayton Neville from Westwood One about what's going on in Texas and a mask requirement. Let's run that clip.
The town of Laredo sits on Texas's southwest border with Mexico and is home to more than 250,000 people. The city's mayor pro tem, Alberto Torres Jr., agreed on a conference call with city council members this week that anyone who doesn't protect their face in public could be fined up to $1,000.
These are must.
When the pandemic first made its way to the U.S., medical experts said wearing masks wasn't necessary unless you had symptoms of the virus. But the CDC says it's now reviewing its policy and could consider broader use for masks. I'm Clayton Neville.
All right, so now, like anything, it all turns around. It's just basically like the age-old coffee is good for you, coffee is bad for you. But now, actually, it's not like that. But they're now saying that mask up. Remember early on when the discussion of masks were out there, they said, hey, you don't need mask. You don't need to be wearing mask. Now, that, of course, is specifically from Laredo, Texas, but U.S. top U.S. infectious disease officials say the better part of valor is that people should wear some kind of facial covering when they go outside if they can't maintain the recommended 6 feet of social distancing to slow the spread of the coronavirus. So if you can't stay out 6 feet, or like we've all had this situation, you're giving 6 feet, then somebody comes right into your space, they're saying that maybe you need to wear a mask. Now, the whole problem is they're saying now that they didn't recommend mask in the past because they thought we, the people, couldn't put the mask on correctly, right? And that you wouldn't fit them right. And they're saying that this is not medical grade mask. So this is not N95s and higher in those masks. We still want you to donate those to USA Children's and Women's Hospital, the home health care folks, the frontline workers at the hospital. If you've got those medical masks, the N95 or N99 or higher, get those to healthcare providers. But new recommendation from Dr. Fauci and the president and others is now it's probably going to actually, the White House is saying advisory on facial coverings coming in the next few days. But what's leaking out now is the fact that they're saying that you could get something that's of lower grade than the N95 or N99 mask and still do yourself some benefit, right? So a bandana, a scarf, it is going to look like a Wild West train holdup everywhere when we're walking around with bandito mask on here. But that's what they're saying, that maybe it's not a bad idea to have these masks on when you're out there. So just thought I'd let you know that what was, hey, y'all don't need mask, only the people that are sick need mask, now has morphed into, well, don't use the medical grade mask, but do, if you think you might be within 6 feet of somebody, they're not keeping their social distance, then maybe you mask up. All right, so there it is. Yes, I'm getting your pictures. I do not think, some of y'all are sending pictures. Yes, the fishing mask thing that a bunch of people have worn over the years, like we're fishing offshore, people wear them out there, try to prevent, you know, getting extra sunburn and skin cancer issues on their face. I've never been able to wear it because the mask drives me crazy. Drives me crazy to have something like that on in the heat. But is it a bandana? Is it a scarf? Is it like Milton sent me the pictures the other day, a pair of BVDs turned rotten? Please, don't walk around with BVDs on your head. But it is at least a change there coming from those in Washington that they said within days an advisory on facial coverings from the White House. So now watch this. The next product you're not going to be able to find, it's going to be just a good old-fashioned bandana. But maybe we'll find if they're going to be trucks full of bandanas heading to Alabama and around the country. We're going to talk trucking. We're going to talk Alabama truckers. Mark Colson joins us next. Y'all stay close. This is Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
So we're waiting on advisory there on the masks. Says White House advisory within days on the mask. Although they're starting to let it leak now. And the president has talked about it, and Dr. Fauci talked about it the other day. Don't use the N95 for N99 masks, but they're saying it's not a bad thing if you decide to use some sort of other mask. I'm just pointing out that this is just me. This is just, you know, hayseed country boy view of it, but probably if you're walking into a store and you have the bandana tied around your face there, maybe you have the hat on, sunglasses, take the sunglasses off, just drop the bandana like, hey, I don't mean you no harm, then put the thing back up. There's just something about it. You see somebody walk in there with a bandana on, and maybe it's one too many Western movies over the years watching, I don't know. It just seems like it could be. This story, you'll hear it here first, and then this story will pop up in a week or two. They'll say, yeah, there's an issue with people wearing bandanas as face masks out there. Like, you wear the medical mask, right? Not the N95 or hires, but the regular medical mask. You don't look like a threat. You got a red bandana around your face. I'm just saying. All right. I mentioned we talked to Mark Colson, who is the president and CEO of the Alabama Trucking Association, and he joins us now. So much to talk about, and thanks for your time, and thanks for what y'all are all doing. Thanks, Mark.
Sean, thank you for having me on the show. Thank you for what you do. And before we get going, I just want to thank you in the media. I mean, this is a critical time for people like nurses and truck drivers and everyone on the front lines, but also really good information and accurate information needs to be shared. And I'll tell you, it's now more important than ever. So thank you for the role you're playing as well. Appreciate it very much.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's what I do. It makes me happy. So let's talk about this, because I've been talking for weeks about the truckers and the vital role that they play on getting, and yes, toilet paper, y'all, and yes, hand sanitizer, but so many other things it takes to keep Americans fed and clothed and in good living condition. And y'all are having to roll, I mean, probably even more than normal to get that done.
Well, that's right. Look, truckers continue to do what they always do. I mean, in good times or bad, and they're delivering the goods that American people of Alabama need and depend on, in good time, whether it be a crisis or not a crisis, they're the nation's cavalry, really. I mean, whether it be a hurricane or a tornado, a blizzard, I mean, the truckers are often the first ones to respond in crisis, first one to roll into a disaster area to bring needed relief supplies, and that's what you're talking about there. And this coronavirus pandemic is no different.
How's it affecting y'all's ranks in the truckers, you know, in the CDL world, doing the social distancing, which is, I guess, easy to do in the cab of a truck, but you got to go pick up a load, you got to drop off a load, you've got to you stop and get fuel. I mean, those are all parts of trucking, too. You actually do get around other people.
That's right. Well, look, in Alabama, there's one in 15 jobs are trucking related.
Wow.
It's over 100,000 jobs. In America, it's about 3.5 million. So, yeah, a lot of folks out there, truck drivers and the related industries, whether it be diesel techs, the folks who work on trucks, the folks who service the industry to keep these trucks on the road and keep goods supplied. It's a tremendous network. And right now, there have been issues that have popped up, whether it be food shortages in certain instances, and there's been some. And I will say this. I mean, with every challenge, there's an incredible story that goes with it. For example, when the food shortage, over the weekend, a mom sent us a story about her daughter in Auburn who set up a table and safely, I mean, with masks, with gloves, socially distant, but provided free meals to truckers. I mean, the restaurant industry, while there were some challenges of truckers getting meals at truck stops or even at restaurants like McDonald's, kudos to McDonald's for revolutionizing the way they order, the way truckers can get order food so that they can't drive their truck through a drive-thru.
Right.
And the truck stops, I mean, they're a big part of our industry, and they've become innovative. And one thing I like to say is there's no problem a trucker can't solve. We are inherently we're a problem-solving, nimble industry. You give us really good information and a little bit of time, and we'll figure it out.
I like that, and we're all having to adjust and change to this new coronavirus economy, but y'all play such a key role. And I tell you, Mark, we didn't talk about this before, but my discussion about truckers, it started a couple weeks ago. I was in Mobile County, and I heard somebody come in hollering, I think it was about toilet paper. They hollered at the cashier, which I didn't favor very much. And then they hollered about the truckers because she said, well, we're waiting on the next load. And the guy started hollering about the truckers. And the guy was a hothead. But I started thinking about that. You know, there's people that have it in their mind that somehow the truckers weren't doing their job, when I knew just from the stories I've been told here, the truckers are going above and beyond doing their job right now.
Well, thank you for saying that. And that's true. And one message I would like to convey, because, I mean, we are an essential part of the supply chain in this country and in the world, and we have goods. So whether it be water, bottled water, or toilet paper, or those everyday goods, there are plenty of them. But when there was a surge in demand, the supply ran short for a short period of time, but the warehouses got restocked, the store shelves got restocked. So for folks out there, we do have enough stuff. Plan it out, and we'll get the store shelves restocked. Truckers are doing that, and so there's no need to be truly concerned there. The supply chain remains strong, and I'll say, and we're doing it safely. I mean, one of the challenges for truck drivers right now and people in the supply chain, just like in the medical community, they got to stay safe. I mean, they're inherently socially distant in their cab of their truck, but they do have to make sure that they're washing their hands and using sanitizing equipment. We're trying to make sure that they have access to sanitary supplies, so that's been a challenge, but like I said, with every challenge, there's a tremendous story. I'll tell you one real quick that I just heard today. On our office on I-85 in Montgomery, we have two big banners we hung so that they can be seen from the road. One says, keep calm and keep trucking, and the other is has the hashtag Thank a Trucker, and it has a big image of one of our celebrated drivers, Darian, who drives for J&M Tank Lines. Well, a driver for Walmart, his name's John, he was driving by yesterday to deliver a load to Montgomery, and he saw the sign and he loved it. He was passionate. He just got pumped up seeing that on the interstate. So he got back to LaGrange, where he's from, and he said, put me back to Montgomery today. So he drove to my office just a minute ago because he wanted to come get a picture in front of the sign.
That's cool.
After he dropped his load. But he told me a story. He said the other day, this was right after this kind of got kicked off a couple weeks ago, and the stores got, we're short on supplies, and he was delivering a load to Walmart, and he was driving around back to drop his load, and a car followed him behind, as he was backing up to the dock, and he kind of got a little nervous, and a guy pulled up beside his truck, and he, rolled his window and said, sir, can I help you? And he told me, in his mind, he thought, oh, this is going to be bad. This person wants to get something off my truck. He was a little nervous, and when he rolled his window down, the guy came up to his window and said, hey, I just want to pray for you. Can I pray for you? And he said, I want to thank you for what you're doing. And I want to pray for everything that you have on your truck, that it supplies the people who need it and they get what they need to live through this. And he said it was just an extremely emotional and motivating moment for him. And he felt bad because, you know, his first reaction was, sure, this could be bad.
Most of us would.
The story and all that. Yeah, and God spoke to him in a unique way. So that, like I said, with every challenge, there's an incredible story. And one thing I've liked to say through this is I've heard those stories from people in our industry. Never underestimate the human heart.
Oh, that's
never
for
underestimate
sure.
the human heart.
Yeah, just joining us, talking to President and CEO of the Alabama Trucking Association, Mark Colson. Mark, I'm a believer in that. I think, and you look at times of crisis, yes, there are always some bad apples, but majority of folks act right and go above and beyond. So it's you see the positivity out there. Let's just get in some the rules of this situation, if they've changed or not for truckers. Because we look right now, every state that touches us has some kind of shelter in place or stay home order, even though we're pretty close to that here in Alabama, but it doesn't have that name. How does that affect? Does it affect truckers? Do they have to stay home? What if we did? We're like Georgia or Mississippi or Tennessee or Florida. Would y'all still roll?
We're still rolling in every state. I'm in conversations with my counterparts in all 50 states. And one thing that's important for everyone to know is that trucking and transportation infrastructure is an essential business. And therefore, the industries that support it, whether it be a truck stop or the mechanics, they are considered an essential business under the Department of Homeland Security's guidance that they've issued. We've communicated that, and so yes, we're rolling in every state. It is confusing. I mean, there are daily reports coming out of whether it be a city, a county, a state, and then you have the ancillary or the anecdotal, the social media type information that gets disseminated. But we're tracking every state as best we can. And we handle those issues one at a time. I'll tell you, I've been in constant communication in Alabama with our governor's office, with the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency, the Alabama Department of Transportation. At the federal level, we work really closely with the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. That's a division of the U.S. Department of Transportation. And so in every instance that we've had issues that have come up, we've had to work through some exemptions that were needed. I'll talk about those in a moment. But I'll tell you this, and this should give hopefully your listeners some confidence. Everyone I've dealt with has been in problem solving mode. So it's not a perfect environment. It's a fluid situation. Everybody's trying to figure it out one day at a time. But every issue we've dealt with, everyone has come at the problem of how do we solve it, right?
Yep.
So many times I know in government that gets criticized or things get politicized, but whether it be our governor or different agencies we've had to work with, again, not a perfect environment, but everyone is doing their best to solve problems. As it's almost like whack-a-mole. You know, you just one a problem pops up and you try to solve it.
Well, I want to talk about some of that because we always think about logbooks and the amount of hours truckers can run and the weights on the vehicles and weigh stations. Has there been any change in that? Any change in the law?
There it's not the law, but regulatory guidance. Yes, and I'll address that, but. Specifically as it relates to weight in Alabama, every state is a little different, so I'll speak just to Alabama.
Okay.
And I could speak to other states, but I probably have to look it up because, again, it's not uniform. But then hours of service, and for your listeners that don't know, those are just, you know, we have safety regulations that are through the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration that, you know, make sure that drivers are getting enough rest. And again, that's not a perfect system. It's evolved over the years. Now they had e-logs where they track that electronically. It used to be paper logs. And there has been some exemptions for hours of service if you are in direct delivering directly emergency relief goods or critical relief items. And those range from medical supplies and equipment related to testing, supplies and equipment necessary for the safety sanitation, so sanitation equipment or supplies, the raw materials that go into those things. And so you have to be able to apply that exemption, you have to be delivering those goods specifically. And so we've made it really clear. And if you're not, you just follow the regular rules of the road, the normal hours of service. Same for weight, the weight exemption. You have to be in direct relief of those goods or delivery of those goods for it to apply. And so that there's been some confusion about that. There's been some confusion about what is an essential service or an essential business mm-hmm. versus what are critical relief items. Trucking is critical. just like, you know, healthcare is critical, or just like, you know, power is critical, power generation is critical. Those are critical infrastructure items. So that's not addressing emergency relief efforts. And so there are some exemptions on truckers who are delivering that, those medical supplies or those raw materials. And if they're not delivering those, they follow the regular rules of the road.
All right. We're about to wrap up here. We've got the news coming up in a second. What do you tell folks here in 30 seconds that want to show their support for truckers? What would you have them do?
Number one thing I would ask you to do is drive safely. I mean, just when you're on the road, be thoughtful about how you're driving around a truck. Keep your distance. Don't text and drive. And number two is thank a trucker. The president tweeted hashtag thank a trucker. If you know a trucker, if you know a family member, especially their families too, they're under a lot of stress just like the rest of our families. So just, you know, whether it be on Facebook, Twitter, social media, don't give them a hug right now. But just thank them. And I tell you, it goes a huge, it makes a huge difference just saying thank you. So that's what they can do.
We're on board with that for sure. A thank you to all the truckers listening, all those that aren't listening. Thank you all as well. Mark, thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Thanks for having me.
A pleasure. Mark Colson, the CEO and president of the Alabama Trucking Association. And we're coming right back on Midday Mobile.
And we'll bring it back no matter what it takes.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
A big thank you to Mark Colson, Alabama Trucking Association, and big thank you to all y'all in the trucks. As the only one of my grandma's grandchildren that didn't get a CDL, she used to think that was very strange. I'm the only one of my cousins that doesn't have a CDL. She always questioned me on that. But thank you to all y'all that are on the roads right now and will be on the roads tonight, tomorrow, and all that. Holland, we appreciate you. And that hashtag thank a trucker that Mark Colson was talking about, use that on social media out there. All right, let's talk about more local businesses and that are operating right now, deemed essential. Of course, that's my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins. Hey, man.
Hey, man, how's it going today?
Good. Okay, can you do a little... So I want to do a little thing here, because I, at the beginning of the hour, we talked about there's a memo out. White House says expect advisory on facial coverings coming in the next few days. Dr. Anthony Fauci talked a little bit about, we're not talking N95 or N99 masks, but if you have a scarf or a bandana or something like that, it may help in some instances. I was just wondering, as a store owner, I would suggest that people would... Wouldn't it make you feel better if they just pulled the bandana down for a second before they put it back up when they walked in? I mean,
yeah, we've had a sign on the door for years that says, you know, please remove any head coverings, et cetera, et cetera. You don't want somebody in here all covered up. And it'll be the same thing with those masks. And I'm still very confused about the whole mask thing myself, because I actually met with my doctor the other day, and he said they really, you know, across the masks is what we're going to do.
We're having a little trouble hearing you on the phone.
Yeah, I would rather have people, like you said, remove the mask when they come, or at least take them down to their neck level.
Yeah, but there is something. It's weird. Like the regular, like the not N95, but the little, the very light mask there, the blue ones, like the, you know, they wear in the hospital, like not the serious one. But you put that on, you don't look threatening. You put on the red bandana, and maybe it's one too many Westerns I watched as a kid, but you know, you'd be getting ready to rob a train. When I see that.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you on that. And the strangest thing to me, though, is those masks are really just effective against dust, yeah, not against viruses. So I'm not really sure where they're coming from.
I don't know, man. It changes every day. It's like, is coffee good for you or bad for you? We'll just wait another week and it'll be different. So let's talk about some stuff you can get your hands around. And that's what's going on at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Talk to me about people. I imagine you've been busy at the precious metals desk.
We really have. We've been selling a lot, we've been buying a lot, and we've been answering a ton of questions. Right now, gold's around $1,600 an ounce. Silver is in the $14 inch range. The problem is the futures market on silver is basically so overblown, the sales side of that has driven things down. But on the physical market, it's hard to find silver at less than, you know, $19-$20 an ounce.
So okay, wait a second. I'm a simple man, and anyway, I'm having a little trouble on the phone again, but you're saying that you're looking for gold, I mean, for silver, and you're looking at $20+ an ounce, but the trading numbers are saying it's $14.
Correct. Right now, we're paying several dollars an ounce over spot just to get things in. Ron talked to one of the major suppliers in the United States last night, right before they closed, and they had 218 ounces worth of silver available for sale. They usually have 2 million plus on the floor.
What gives? Do you have any idea?
As everything started to drop, and we're actually going to talk about it next week on Two Guys and Some Change, the problem is people were putting future contracts out there for sale and trying to take advantage of the lower prices now. Well, nobody's buying those future contracts. That kept driving the price down and down and down and down. However, nobody is producing and releasing silver at those numbers currently, so it's created this huge false imbalance between the market price and the actual price of stuff on the ground.
You'll see why I lean on Angelo and Ron, Nancy, the crew at Mobile Bay Coins when I start looking at precious metal. It's stuff like that, because I looked at it, I had no idea the whys on that. Also, let's talk about if people are looking to, you know, like you said, you're buying gold and silver as well. You're looking for it.
Yeah, so if somebody's got some scrap gold, scrap silver, maybe they've got some gold or silver bullion that somebody in the family had passed down to them and said, hey, you need to hold this, you know, for a rainy day or for tough times. Well, if this is that time for you, come down to the shop. We're going to make you a fair offer. And like I was saying earlier, a lot of the silver and gold items we're paying well over spot. So don't let that $14 an ounce spot price fool you. You're going to be getting some surprisingly good numbers out of your gold and silver.
All right. Well, let's do this. Give folks a direction. Number one, to look at y'all's items are all online. They can shop there, or a bunch of them are online. They can shop there, and then talk about how to find you in the real world.
Yeah, if you're trying to sell or buy gold or silver bullion, we're here at the shop, 2204 Government Street. You can call us at 725-1590. If you want to shop and you don't want to get out into the real world and have to wear the mask and expose yourself to everybody on many levels, don't expose yourself to people. just go to our website, mobilebaycoins.com, click on the shop button, and it'll let you bring up a link to our eBay store. You can do your shopping there. We mail things out pretty much every single day, so you can do all your shopping from the comfort of your couch.
I love it, man. Thank you. We'll check back with you soon.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo, check it in for Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. They're one of those businesses still open, and you can shop with them, like he said, online or in person. All right, I'm going to run through some text here, and we'll grab calls. Phone number, 343-0106, 343-0106. All right, I want to go back to what I said at the beginning of the show, because there's quite a few texts about this, about, number one, the wearing of gloves and masks. So Jordan says, I went to Publix this morning in Daphne, and I was about one of four people not wearing a mask or gloves. Jordan, I've seen that too. I told you I don't go to a lot of places, but I was in Harbor Freight the other day trying to pick up some zip ties. I think, you know, 'cause the home of all the holy grail of zip ties. So I was in there getting, and there were like lots of people in there with the gloves and the mask on in there. And I didn't judge whether they were N95 or 90. I don't know what grade the mask, but they had those on. They had the gloves on. Because if y'all didn't listen at the beginning of the show, I was just went out to run some errands between the morning show and this one, and saw where at this gas station there were the blue nitrile gloves that were laid outside the gas station as well. And like I've got some of those. I got plenty of them actually that I, you know, use for a lot of different projects. But do I carry a few in my truck right now when I go to gas up? Yeah, I do. So if I'm going to touch the gas pump handle and all that, I put the glove on. I do Michael Jackson, do the one glove, and do it that way. Makes them go longer. But I put them either in the trash can at the gas station or wadded up on the floorboard of the truck to be thrown away later. For some reason, there's something going on out there, because I saw it, and I've gotten several texts about this, that the new litter out there are the gloves. People finish with them and then just throw them on the ground. And I think it behooves us to shame those people, as you see it, right? And I said, I think somebody on the text line was amused by the fact that I said, quit being nasty. Stop being nasty out there, y'all. Just act right. Just act right. Don't lose your mind over this and act like a fool. Don't be throwing rubber gloves on the ground. All right. Let's see here. And then Charles says, did you see the cluster Twitter? That's a good way to put it, Charles. Q&A with the Governor Ivey did. He says, repulsive. She's playing God with people's lives. She needs to go. He links the article on AL.com. Charles, obviously she's trying to play both sides here, which is what somebody in an elected position does. we have, if you look at the limitations in the state right now, we're pretty darn close to mirroring what you see, for example, in Georgia that was put in their, did they call it state? Either they called shelter in place or stay at home. I don't know which one. But what Georgia enacted yesterday, so now every state that surrounds Alabama, it looks like a lottery map, right? Where every state has a lottery except us. Well, every state has an official stay at home or shelter in place. We don't. But when Dalton was reading what Georgia enacted yesterday, and I was kind of looking through my checklist of what has, what are the rules here, we're pretty close, I guess. And somebody will say, well, you know, you get that shelter in place, then law enforcement can do, well, but right now law enforcement, I know in Mobile, can break up groups bigger than 10, right? 10 people or more, they can break those up. So law enforcement does have a part in this. So I don't know. I mean, is it, Charles, is it, I mean, if she gives it the name, does it make it better, you know, or what other thing, I guess a fair question, Charles, would, what other things would change? And maybe some folks out there would know, what other things would change if the governor did give it a name, went from where we are now to calling it shelter in place or whatever they call it. All right. Now, Jace says, now when I don't wear a mask walking around, which is ineffective on 99% of the people wearing the mask, they said they want to create a revenue stream and said violation. Yeah, okay, so Jace is talking about what Laredo, Texas did. I thought that was incredibly ignorant what they did in Laredo, where they're going to try to force people to wear the masks. He said if they want to create a revenue stream and said the violation, he says, and I don't carry an ID as per my constitutional right, and I refuse to ID myself per the 4A. They're going to lock us up in a cage for our safety, of course. He said this is how you create non-compliant libertarians. Thank you. The Baldwin 5 said, thank you for the comment about nasty people discarding their gloves on the ground. I picked up someone's used gloves on the ground this morning and placed in the trash while wearing my own gloves. People are nasty. You should quit acting nasty, y'all. Just keep your senses about you. Don't lose. I mean, act right. Although whoever sent me the picture of the woman with the kitchen sponge strapped to her face, that was so. Quite a picture. That may be my new telephone. That might be the background on my phone. All right. Then we'll get some calls when we get back here. And heads up, too. Another kind of keeping it clean. The rubber gloves for your computer. We're going to talk about that with Philip Long from BIS in hour number two. More people obviously doing more work from home on their computer using their networks. We talked about how to set up a home office, how to give yourself rules to be a better telecommuter. But what about the security issues surrounding that? We'll talk about that as well coming up next hour. All right, be right back. Phone number 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1250 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Online, fmtalk1065.com. Get three big things, top news stories of the day, access to all our podcasts. We're doing 44 hours a week of live local programming around here. You can grab those podcasts. Also, if you want to kind of narrow it down and get the stories we're talking about that are related with the COVID-19 fight, COVID-19 local news tab up top, interviews from the health world, the governmental world, what to do about your kids, what to do about your home office, telecommuting, trucking, all those things under that one tab. Also, while you're there, check out the 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question. Should Governor Kay Ivey issue a stay-at-home order for the state of Alabama? I keep tallying those votes and check them out when you go to fmtalk1065.com. All right, we're coming to the phones. I do want to say with the latest update here on COVID-19 cases in the state of Alabama, 1,394 in the state, and this is the latest number in, and 21 died from the illness. It says here there are 76 cases and 4 deaths now in Mobile County, 26 cases in Baldwin County, 3 cases and 1 death now in Washington County, 2 cases in Clark County, 3 cases in Monroe County, 2 cases in Escambia County, and 1 case in Conecuh County. So we'll keep our eyes on this as those numbers, unfortunately, keep going up. And as the president said, we're the next 2 weeks, right? This week, next week, maybe the week after. This is going to be what they right now believe is the peak. All right, to the phones at 343-0106. And first up, let's go to Gerald in Loxley. Hey, Gerald.
Hey, how you doing, Sean?
Good.
Well, first, I'd like to say I'm a first-time caller.
Well, welcome aboard.
Thank you. I'm a Republican. I believe in, you know, conservatism. I'm also retired disabled veteran out of, you know, the Army.
Thank you. Thank you for your service to our country, Gerald.
Yes, sir. One of our MOSs was 54 Bravo. And
what's
one
that?
Of mine was.
What's 54 Bravo?
54 Bravo is a nuclear biological chemical warfare specialist.
Okay.
So we dealt with a lot of, like, anthrax, things that could infect you, nuclear or radiation, or something like the coronavirus. I would probably be labeling probably in the biological.
Okay.
Which, what I'm... I mean, I'm not saying that our government is not doing, they're doing good, but I think that decontamination is probably going to be key to beating this virus. I don't understand why our guard units and our decontamination units haven't already been activated and sent into the hotspots.
And I don't know, the only thing I know about that, let me add to it, is one of my buddies who's in the Guard, he did get activated yesterday. I don't know what he's doing. I hadn't talked to him, his wife talked to my wife and said he got activated. So I don't, you know.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they're getting on board and they starting to, because that's what I did in the military. You know, I think decontamination was really important.
Imagine.
And the hot spots, you go to the center of the hot spot and you decontaminate from the center out. So,
okay,
you know, it breaks down in the states and then in the counties, and then it has to go worldwide as far as the United States, and then it breaks all over the world. But you start at the lowest point.
So you go to the center. You would go to the center, whatever it was, biological,
exactly.
Or, okay.
Well, you also got to break down, you know, this is an unseen, like the president said. You can't see this killer. It's unseen. We do know that it lived for 17 days on a surface. I think the CDC put out that the cruise ship was abandoned for 17 days, and they went back and they found it still active. So as an NBC specialist, that tells me that you take 17, so then you look and say, well, okay, well, the ship probably was at sea for, say, 10 days. So you add 10 to 17, you come up with 27, you round it up to 30, and then you multiply it by 2, and that gives you 60. So it gives you a window between 17 days and 60,
okay,
that this could still live.
So what do you...
You got to get some kind of a standardized, you know, theory. And then you go to the center of it and you decontaminate everything. The food coming into your state, if it's coming from another state, the truck needs to be decontaminated. The cargo needs to be decontaminated. And then when it gets to our warehouse, it needs to be decontaminated again. And then when they ship it to the other stores, the stores need to be decontaminating it.
How are we going to do that from your experience, Gerald? I mean, is it going to be like spraying of light? You know, the stuff we do around here, we use the wipes here, the Lysol,
yeah,
that kind of stuff. Or is it something, did y'all use, like, I know you can't say everything, but what did y'all use in the military? Like, what would you
use?
Well,
see, that's where the CDC comes in, and that's where we need to know, hey, will alcohol kill it? Will Clorox kill it? What will neutralize this virus? Once we figure that out, we can basically, you got sanitation workers. When I was in school, I saw the janitors. I loved the janitors when I was in school in the early 70s. I'm fixing to be 50. So they were clean. They were sanitizing. They were cleaning the environment. We have to go back to that knowledge that we have, that if you see it and you touch it, it's got to be cleaned. And that's the mentality that we have to have with this virus. If you go to the store and you buy a canned food, think about this. How many people have you seen pick up a canned item?
I thought the same
and
thing.
Change your mind and put it back.
Every time.
Every time, right? So before you introduce that item into your house, you need to sanitize it. So we need to have, this is something that every American has to be on board. Everyone. They need to be doing, the social distancing is good. But if you stay in for 30 days and then you come back out and this virus is still alive on the surface and you get it, the second wave is going to be 100 times worse than the first.
Why is that?
Because it's already been in the people. It's already been fed. And during the time, say winter or heat, we don't know if it, they're saying that heat could kill it, but do we know for 100%? We really don't. Like the president said, we don't know anything about it. So we have to just keep in the back of our heads, we're not even going to think about that. We're just going to decontaminate every day until it's gone. You know, I mean, that's all we can do. But we have units. I mean, as far as I know, every branch of the military has a decontamination unit. If we activate these units and send them into the major hotspots of Washington, California, New York, Louisiana, Florida, and get in the middle of it and start decontaminating from the center out, and then we do it state level, break it down by counties, and we go to the counties and use the National Guard, the Army Reserve, the Navy Reserve, call up anybody that can spray and put on a decontamination suit and walk.
Well said, Gerald, and I appreciate your service to our country and your phone call. Hour number 2 of Midday Mobile next.